This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
And you are on Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9. I'm Zoe Daniel, the member for Goldstein, and I am here with the member for McNamara, Josh Burns.
Morning.
We are going to be joined by a person who I think is quite extraordinary to talk about the 16 Days of Activism Against Gender-Based Violence, which is an annual international campaign that kicks off today. And today is the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. The 16 Days of Activism runs until the 10th of December, and we'll be doing a whole lot of stuff in Parliament in Canberra on this week, at a time when violence against women is at frightening levels, and particularly the deaths of women who are killed predominantly by intimate partners. So we're joined by Professor Kate Fitzgibbon, the Chair of Respect Victoria, to discuss this. G'day, Kate.
Hey, Zoe, how are you?
Really well, and thanks for waiting on the line. I know you've been very patient there.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Just tell us a bit about the 16 Days of Activism. What's it about?
Yeah, so today marks the first day with the Elimination of Violence Against Women Day, and this is a global movement that invites everybody, no matter what your role in the community is, to be part of driving forward, of saying enough is enough, violence is not inevitable, this is preventable, and moving forward with the change that we so desperately need.
Kate, it's Josh here. Good morning, and thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Josh.
So my question is around the importance of language and words, because we know how we know that not all words lead to violence, but often violence begins with words. How important is it that people are mindful of the way in which they are talking, mindful of the sort of jokes that they're putting forward? How important is it the way in which we are talking about each other and the culture that we're setting in dealing with preventing family violence and domestic violence?
It's absolutely critical. And I thought you've just gone straight to the heart of the problem here, because we know that the problematic and harmful gender stereotypes, inequalities, and different forms of racial and ableist oppression across the community is what drives this violence. But it's also the point at which any member of the community can jump in and be part of the solution. So it might mean just gently talking with a friend or family member that makes a sexist or a homophobic joke and letting them know why it's not funny and it's not helpful and it can be really harmful, particularly with children and young people who are shaping their attitudes and behaviours and looking to others in the community to do so. What we've seen in the National Community Attitude Survey is that more Australians are recognising that domestic violence is an issue, which is really encouraging. Over 90% of Australians recognise that. But some of our more entrenched, gendered, harmful stereotypes and attitudes are taking longer to shift. So we really all need to work towards that.
Yeah, it's interesting, that reflection, Kate, of people acknowledging the issue. One thing that I was quite shocked at with the interactions that I have with the police in the southeast of Melbourne who look after the communities in my electorate is that roughly half of their caseload is family violence. And when I've talked to that with people in my electorate at community meetings and such, people are quite shocked. And to me, that says that this is still sort of happening behind closed doors, or that perhaps people acknowledge that it's happening, but they think it's not happening near them, that it's happening somewhere else.
Yeah, just spot on, Zoe. In that same National Community Attitude Survey from earlier this year, there was a significant majority of Australians who recognise domestic violence as an issue, but don't think it's happening in their suburb or town. And that's where we see that just complete disconnect. What we know from the prevalence, 1 in 3 Australian women will experience physical or sexual violence from the age of 15 through to adulthood. It is happening in every single suburb or town. So we need everyone to be part of that solution and to recognise this is something that impacts their family, friends, their neighbours or their co-workers.
Kate, it's probably worth just taking a moment also to give the advice that if someone is experiencing gender-based violence, is there, you know, what are the things that they can do and the steps that they can take? What sort of support's available for them? What's your advice for people if they are listening, that for themselves or for someone that they know?
Yes, certainly it's really important. If you are at urgent risk, you fear for your physical well-being or your life, you should absolutely call the police and convey that message. If you're looking for some specialist support or advice, 1-800-RESPECT is a line that you can contact and receive confidential advice from a specialist domestic and family violence caseworker. There's also Full Stop Australia and a range of other resources. If you jump online, you'll go through the Full Stop Australia or 1-800-RESPECT site to find a range of other things in the community.
Kate, 51 women have died violently in Australia this year. In October alone, 6 women were killed within a fortnight, 5 allegedly by men known to them. I get the yearly toll from a couple of women on the platform formerly known as Twitter, who count dead women. That's what they do. That said, you and I and my team have been talking about this a lot around more effective counting and data gathering so we can learn from these deaths. What needs to happen in that space? And I know the government's announcing something in this vein today. Can you just speak to that and what more we need to do?
Yeah, it's really important. I mean, we've seen the groups you've referred to, Zoe Destroy the Joint and Cheryl Moody, do incredible volunteer work to count the horrific killings and regular killings of women and children across Australia, largely by men's violence. And it's ludicrous when we have a national plan that commits to reducing intimate partner femicides alone by 25% each year, that we don't then have a concerted effort to understand how that reduction could be achieved. And one of the things that we know is that to prevent anything, we need to effectively measure and count it. We also need to understand it. And it's really that understanding piece that we don't have yet. We do have death review committees at the state and territory level, but they are not joined up in consistency of approach or in the way that they undertake their work. So we're losing opportunities there. We need a substantive commitment to building the evidence base to understand where we could have prevented these lives, where were the opportunities for interventions, what did we miss, which service points and systems across our states and territories could be upskilled, could be better resourced to save lives.
Kate, I want to ask a personal question because this is obviously an extremely difficult topic to confront, but such an important one. And for you to dedicate your professional life to it is, you know, it takes a lot of resilience and a lot of stamina. How do you manage this in a personal capacity? How do you get through the day and continue to wake up and strive to do more? And how do you cope with it? Because it is difficult being in a leadership role on such a heavy topic, and it can be a huge burden.
Thank you, Joe. It's really, really nice of you to check in on that. It's an incredibly challenging topic, and certainly some days, weeks or months, the last 2 months we've had have been horrific, and they certainly, they feel harder. Days like yesterday in Victoria, we had over 5,000 Victorians joined outside Parliament House to say enough is enough and to walk against family violence. Days like that are incredibly uplifting and give me a lot of hope. I take care. I would encourage anyone working in this space to ensure they have really great self-care strategies in place and support networks, and I'm really fortunate to have those. I always come back to the basis that this is preventable, and it's really important for us to remember this. It doesn't have to be like this. We can drive towards that, and I'm just desperately hoping that in the life of my professional work, we're going to see a really significant move in this space.
Kate, why did you get into this area? What motivated you?
It's one of those challenges. Once you see it, it's really hard to unsee it. And it just felt too hard for me to turn away and work in any other area. I, as a young girl at school, my eyes were opened up to the justice system and the inability of the justice system to provide what looks like just outcomes and safety for women who are experiencing family violence, but also the media reporting. And I know, Zoe, this is a passion point of yours, but the media reporting in this area, I just didn't, as a young girl, just didn't understand it. Why were we talking about everything that the victim did, and in quite often the deceased victim, and not having any conversations about the man and holding the male violence to account? So that was really my entry point in, and the rest is history.
So, Kate, we've got some stuff going on in Canberra this week, as I alluded to. You're coming to Canberra to stand with me and some other pretty tough women to address this subject. Should we drop some hints to the Saturday Magazine listeners about what's happening this week?
Absolutely. I mean, Zoe, I'm so thrilled, and just thank you so much for all your advocacy and determination to ensure this is front and centre. And I think it's going to be extremely encouraging for Australians to see that Canberra is paying attention and is listening and is calling for action across the 16 days.
Thanks, Kate. And yes, everyone who's listening, please have your eyes on Parliament House on Monday. There's going to be a lot of talking about this, and there's going to be, well, some action to attract attention to this issue, which is something that I'm really pleased that we've been able to collaborate with the government, and particularly the House Speaker, to get happening next week. So please keep your eyes out for that. Thanks so much, Kate. You're awesome.
Thank you so much for having me, Zoe and Josh. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks for joining us. That was Professor Kate Fitzgibbon, who is the chair of Respect Victoria and amazing, a really amazing leader in all of this. And good work, Zoe, for putting it on the agenda for next week.
Yeah, it's a really critically important issue. And, you know, we've got to talk about this as much as possible, and we've got to do something about it as soon as possible. It is just an awful situation, and it affects so many people.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, with Zoe Daniel and Josh Burns. Stay with us. There's more.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.